as well a very good morning to you all in this truly winter's morning. We rejoice to be here again as we worship God and praise God together. And in our reading, we are back to the garden, back to the weeds, and back to the good seed. Now, if you were here last week, you would have heard the parable that Jesus had spoken about, and the parable of the generous sower, and this generous sower who would scatter seed and scatter it generously and also a bit carelessly, if you want, with a generous love. It falls on rocky ground, on hard ground, amongst the thorns, and it falls on good ground. And now, Matthew immediately tells us of another parable. Again, it is similar to the first, but not necessarily the same. Again, it's about planting good seed. Good seed. And if last week we compared the ground, if we think of the ground as we asked the question, who prepares it? Who prepares the ground? If we thought of the ground as our little hearts, or just focusing on the ground where the seed had fallen. Now, in this particular parable, Jesus shifts our gaze. We are no longer looking at the micro conditions of this ground, of individual hearts, or localized patch of ground. No, Jesus expands our view now, and expands it cosmically. As he says, the field is the world. The field is the world. We are now looking at the macro conditions of the entire field, the world, as we look out across the horizon. So the horizon is now widened. And so today, we no longer just are asking what type of ground receives the good seed. We are no longer asking even who prepares that particular ground. Rather today, we are sent into a field where good seed will flourish, where good seed will flourish. But amongst it are the weeds too. And so the question today that I wish to put in our minds is, how then do we live in a field we cannot clean? How then, or even more, how do we flourish among weeds? How do we flourish among weeds? That's the question I would like to put today. Now, if you listened carefully to the text, Jesus says, this particular person sowed good seed in his field. But when everyone was sleeping, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. I like the while we were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed the bad seed. I like that. Well, it may look like, and it is probably, while it was at night and you're sleeping and you're trusting that nothing is happening, going wrong, and you are all relaxed, but We know that when we are sleeping, we are not at our full consciousness. We're not even in control, maybe, of our thoughts and ourselves. We are not fully aware of what is going on around. But so then if you look at while we were sleeping that way, while we were relaxing, while we were comfortable, while we were not fully conscious, an enemy comes and sows the bad seed. So while we were trusting that the good seed will flourish and we were comfortable in our ways, the enemy comes and sows the bad seed. And when we wake up tomorrow, it flourishes too. And we see it there, flourishing among the wheat, this weeded plant. So let us be clear about what these weeds are. In the Greek format, this weed looks to be so close to what the wheat looks like. It could be a weed that is known as the darnel. It looks more or less the same. So as it grows and it starts to sprout, you may mistaken it to the wheat plant that is there. It looks a little bit the same. And then after it has grown, then you can truly identify it. Now also, if we read the story very carefully, when Jesus says, when you uproot the weeds, you might uproot the wheat also. So if we read it like that, so it could mean that the roots of the bad seed are so close or even entangled to the root of the good seed, and such that if you're going to pluck it out, you might also destroy the good seed. So what is going on here? This bad seed and this good seed, they receive the same nutrients from the soil. They receive the same waters from the one who sends the rain. They receive the same sunshine from the one who raises the sun up in the morning. They receive the same, and they flourishing together. And then the question is, how then does the good seed flourish alongside the bad seed? How do we flourish in a field that we cannot clean? How do we flourish in a field that's filled with weeds? And you see, indeed, the environment where the good seed has been sown is not a sterile, pristine environment. It isn't. Just as we light this candle, we say we light it among the thorns. It's the light that shines in the darkness. And so the environment where this good seed is planted is not pristine, is not a sterile environment where we get to pursue holiness in isolation. No, we live in the overlap. We live in that. And so here we're asking ourselves, then when we ask, how do we flourish among the weeds? Exactly this is what we are asking. How do we who love, let love flourish among hatred? How do we who have hope, let hope flourish among despair? How do we who hold the truth, let truth flourish among the lies? But let me warn you, sometimes they may look closely the same. You need to have a very good discerning heart to know what true gospel love is, what true gospel hope is, what is the truth that is in Christ. Otherwise, you may be deceived between the wheat and the darnel, between the good seed and the bad seed. But they flourish together. They flourish together. They share the same air. They occupy the same neighborhoods. They probably sit in the same pews and listen to the same messages and interpret it differently. The field where the good seed is sown is not pristine, is not sterile. But then the servants come to their master. They notice the weed and they react immediately. They say, "Master, didn't you sow good seed? Why now is there bad? It was there weeds in the field." And the master identifies, "An enemy did this." Oh, their reaction is actually acceptable. Shouldn't we go and pluck it out? The master then says, No. Let them grow together. Let them grow together. You see, their reaction comes from their gut. We can easily relate to that particular reaction. "Sir, shouldn't we go and pluck it out? Shouldn't we just go with our hands and our strength and go fix that which is wrong? Shouldn't we just take what is bad and discard it? Pluck it out immediately." We know about this. We're going to do it now in September, October, when we feel the warmth of the sun and have strength to kneel down with our little fox spades and our little spades and rakes, and we weed out the garden. We know about this. We know. And so we have then this temptation to quickly fix with our own power and our own strength and fight like that. Fight the thorns, fight the weeds, fight the darnel, just like that. But the master says, no. For in the gathering of the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. The no is by no means a call to passivity. No, it is not that. Doesn't mean be passive. Just look at it. No, doesn't mean that at all. Rather, the no, if you look at it, Jesus says, let them grow together. Let them flourish together. Growth is active. It's not passive. Let them then grow together. Then, if we are a people of love, of hope, and truth, and peace, we let the love grow, whereas there is hatred. We let the truth grow, even among or alongside the lies. We let it grow. We let it flourish. We let it flourish in that way. We let the peace grow even amongst this warring world of ours. We let hope grow even among despair. And so we then grow together. Let them grow together. In our world, the roots of the wheat and the weeds are truly and hopelessly entangled. And if we so tempted to violently pluck them out with our human force, we would inevitably destroy the vulnerable. We know about this in history. We know about what happened throughout our history. but we still seem like we do not want to learn the lessons. We don't want to learn the lessons. In history of human revolutions, including the religious ones, they are littered with the wreckage of those that are vulnerable, plucked out, innocent though they are, when we tried to purify the world that we live in with our own force, with our own truth, with our own terms of justice. And we did more harm than we did good. And this master is saying, let them grow together. By letting them grow together, I feel and I think the master is telling them to do what Paul would say in the book of Romans. Let good overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil. He does not discard that evil. He does not say evil does not exist. It does exist. But he is as sure as well that good also exists. And if you allow good to flourish, good will at the end of the day overcome evil. I hear it that way. So yes, let them grow together and people will identify. How then do we flourish among the weeds? So what then do we do? First, I think we need to recognize that the weeds do not dictate identity. No, they don't. The weed plant will remain the weed plant, and the good plant will remain the good plant, and they flourish together. We will see now that we have not really those who are like me, you cannot wake up on a Saturday morning or Friday afternoon and work on your garden because it's too cold anyway. And then we will see. I will still identify the good plant that I had put there, even though the weeds have grown. The weeds do not change the identity of the wheat. It doesn't change it. The wheat still will remain the wheat. Therefore, we are not dictated by the wheat, by the bad plant of what our identity is. Neither are we diluted simply because we let them flourish together. No, we're not even diluted. Sometimes when I speak to some of my friends who have given up hope, who have even given up, they still believe, but they kind of like given up. They've given up. Why should I pray anymore? If it is not for our identity, why else? If it is not for who we are, why else? Why should we lose hope? We can't lose hope because we are people of hope. We can't lose love because we are born in love. So now that the bad seed seems to be flourishing as the good seed, our identity does not change. It remains the same. We are still people of hope and still people of love. Let us then flourish as people of hope amongst the despair. Let us then flourish as people of love amongst hatred. Let us then flourish as people of truth amongst the lies. But again, let me warn you, they may look quite close to one another. You need a careful, discerning heart to know what is the gospel love. Secondly, we refuse to let the presence of the bad seed restrict or stifle our growth. We refuse. So when the master says, let them grow together, notice that he still expects the wheat to grow in the presence of the weeds. He still expects it. That implies that the good seed has access to the same divine nutrients, to the same divine resources as always, never stops. We still receive those resources. The rain still falls, the sun still shines, and the soil is still good for us to grow. We flourish among the weeds by sinking our roots deeper to the resources of grace that God has given us. And then we flourish. We refuse to let the weeds or the bad seed restrict our growth. We should refuse. We should shine always. You see, the third and the last one is that we should always not panic. Don't panic about what this enemy has done, but rather we should all the more trust in the God who is faithful, who is identified here as the one who owns the field and as the one who owns the harvest. Trust in that one. Now, this, as I was busy with this, I was watching the sports as well at the same time, should tell you. So I was not necessarily closed in my study. Now I was having TV in front of me. And there wasn't this interview that caught my eye of the rugby players, the then Springbok team with the likes of Victor Matfield. They were telling a story of how they first played the Samoan team, and they visited Samoa to play there in Samoa. And they were told about these Samoans, how giant they are. And they were told about them. And so when they went and walked out the tunnel towards the playing field, you know, Victor Matfield is by far the tallest and the hugest in that squad. But he was dwarfed by these Samoans when he walked out the tunnel, and they looked at Victor against these Samoans and they thought to themselves, oh, wow, this time around, I don't want to say the word they used, we're going to be, it's a nice Afrikaans word. So then they saw that. Now, they looked at the enemy and they thought, oh, we will not match them. We will not match them. They panicked. But soon they realized as they played, even though they are that much of giants, they still can tackle. They still can pass the ball. They still can run. They still can kick the ball. They can play the flavor of rugby that they know against the giants. And it is at that point when they realized it that they won the game. At that point when they realized it. So you see, even though there is bad seed that is growing amongst us, these weeds that are growing, this darnel that is growing, we stop panicking about that, but we start trusting in the God who is faithful. Yes, there is a lot of evil. Yes, there's a lot of bad that is going on. Yes, there's a lot of despair. Yes, there is a lot of corruption, but they cannot stand up against our game. They may look like giants that cannot be defeated, but when we play our game well, good will always overcome evil. good will always overcome evil. The light will always dispel darkness. It will always do. So, do not panic. The White House has always been there. The faces have always changed, but the gospel remains the same. Do not panic. Empires rise and fall, but the gospel is always there. Do not panic. Hitlers come in different forms, but the gospel always remains. So, we grow together, and growth is active, and we do not panic in our growth, because God is faithful. Let me read the psalm again as I conclude, so that we could see what this God is like. This psalmist says, I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love. Arrogant foes, they attack me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. And in that part, that is just the smallest part about the enemy. But then the psalmist turns to God again and says, but you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast and faithful love. Turn to me and have mercy on me. That's the God whom we trust, the one who is slow to anger and abounding in love. To God be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you send rain to the righteous and to the unrighteous. Your sun shines for the righteous and the unrighteous. You demand of us, dear Lord, to be holy, for you are holy. You ask of us, dear Lord, to remain faithful, for you are faithful. To love continually, ceaselessly, for you have loved us with a generous kind of love. Help us to grow. Grow in your truth. Grow in your love. Grow in hoping. Grow in fighting for peace. Growing in justice. Growing in righteousness. Help us to flourish even among the weeds. For the glory of your holy name, we pray. Amen.